This cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell.
But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Oh, the best. How you doing? How you doing, sir? Hello, darkness, my old friend. The wheels are wobbling. The wheels are wobbling because the whole bus might be falling apart. What a loss. 3-1 dumpster fire at the Wembley. Bruno gets a penalty at the very end. Didn't deserve it. They were poor, poor Chelsea side, but somehow we looked even worse.
Not what you want to see. Not what you want to see at the Wembley, as you would always put it. Look, United, this game, we lost it. I'm going to say, as controversially as possible, not a big deal on a top four. It's all top four. Always has been. It's the 90 million. It's what's going to get this club some cash so we can buy some players in the summer, strengthen, and go on to challenge for titles. FA Cup would have been nice. It's pretty much a free trophy given Arsenal Pip City. And it's a tough one for the lads at the minute, but you have to look and say they've been playing way too many games and we're falling apart. Like you said, the wheels coming off the bus. The lads are haggard. They're tired. We saw it today without a doubt. Ole had to do a full rotation, in my opinion, and almost just punt on the FA Cup because that's what the fixtures are dictating.
Yeah, I agree, because if we have a result on Wednesday, going to top four, close it out on Sunday, no big deal, right? No one's going to give a shit about the FA Cup. But what happens is he started a pretty strong 11. I thought, like, he started De Gea, he started Bruno, he started Rashford. I thought there would be way more rotation, like you said. Almost to the point where, like, we don't really care. We're focused on Wednesday, bigger fish to fry. And instead, you give up a shit goal in the first half, and then you're scrambling. You put in the big guns. You still can't get it done. De Gea lets you down. And now it looks like you're vulnerable, right, because the streak's over. It doesn't matter if we win on Wednesday, but I don't feel that good going into Wednesday because the boys look haggard and you got a lot of tired legs out there when really you wanted to just play the reserves and he didn't.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You got David Moyes, technical genius, secret agent for Manchester United. Surely going to put out a poor 11.
Yeah, right.
West Ham playing good at the moment. I never would really sweat West Ham, but given kind of the run that we're on in the last probably two plus a few minutes in stoppage time games, it's the players didn't get rested. And that concerns me because at a certain point, we saw Sir Alex manage it in the best of times, sir. I'm not going to say these are the worst, but you got to get the rotation right. And at certain times, you just have to take a punt. And it's like, if you look at the calendar, we had two less days rest than Chelsea. These players are out. Bruno, I have no idea how he's still on the pitch. You got to get him a rest. And we couldn't. We couldn't.
We got to get him rest. And if you're going to get smoked, if you're going to get, because we got outplayed. I mean, it was a bad day of football. No one's going to be going back and watching the highlights of this game. They weren't a terrific team, like we said. But instead, you have a bad result and you had a lot of tired legs. And you really would have just rather, why not put out Dan James, Agalu, Fred, McTominay, put out no starters, you know, put out Bailly and Fassou Mensah and Dalo and get Laird, you know, get that young center back, the right back who's ready to break in because Wednesday's more important, and now everybody's tired. They look tired, and who are you going to start? You got to start your de facto 11 on Wednesday and basically just hope the wheels don't fully fall off. And now I'm getting traumatic because it feels like last season again. Remember the last two games?
Look.
Remember the last two games?
Now you're here. Now you're where I was last spot.
Yeah.
And I've come to, you know, first you have frustration. What is it? Acceptance?
These 12 stages.
Stages of grief. I've come to acceptance, sir. I've accepted this law. I actually thought coming I wasn't confident. I thought we'd see more rotation. I thought United would lose. But at the end of the day, it's all in the West Ham. Top four is really what it's about for this club. It can be done. Leicester result. We got to give a shout out to Tottenham. Whew. Mourinho, greatest troll in English football, did it against Leicester. They looked pretty poor. So I don't know why we're sweating so much, but it's just, you know, I just want to watch an easy, nice 4-0 West Ham match.
The thing that concerns me is that we are not playing the same caliber of football that we played at the start of the restart. We are like, there's clearly a degradation in the play. It's like every game has been a little bit worse. And I think it's because we haven't rotated enough. which, hey, I know we it's a sprint, but at the end of the day, you do have to rotate because there's a lot of games. The boys are tired. It's the summer.
I thought Bruno looked tired against Crystal Palace.
He did.
Right. And Southampton. I thought he would for sure sit today. And if he looked tired on Thursday and it's a Sunday and you need him for West Ham, you know, these are quite, but look, in the game of football, you know, it comes down to those fine decisions, right? And I would say Dan James starting, that's one where Ole probably wants that one back. I mean, a lot of injuries as well. I mean, we can get, before we get into the whole match breakdown, quick PSA for the podcast, sir. We got to lighten it up a little bit. You know what? We got some great content on our fan blog, AmericaRedDevils.com. For fans, by fans, if you want to support the cause, we don't have any ads here on the podcast. We just do it for the fun of it. Anything you buy in our online store helps keep the lights on. You can check that out, AmericanRedDevils.com. Click on store. The hoodies are officially defeated. How many games we make it with the hoodies?
19.
19 games on the hoodies. Those round numbers are the hardest to get in the record books. Also, if you don't want to part with any cold hard cash, drop a review on iTunes. It goes a long way to help us. We have some great reviews lately. They go a long way. 5 stars, some cheeky banter. We absolutely love it. We should start reading those out on the pod. That's something we should do.
We should, because they've been excellent recently. And let's be honest with each other, guys and gals. If you're listening to this pod after losing 3-1, you're a true fan. So we appreciate all the true fans out there like us who wanted to turn that game off at the end, but you just suffer through every moment. So we appreciate you. We appreciate everyone that checks out the blog, everyone that writes reviews and buys merch. It's been a long season. We got two big games. It's like our season comes down to two games. It's West Ham and Leicester. We win those games, season's a success.
It is. Like a resounding success. I'm just trying to keep going with the PSA because I don't want to get into the match breakdown. You can subscribe to us on YouTube as well. We're getting our channel off the ground. I've been posting as much as I can, but with the fixtures, the baby at home, we're doing the best we can. It's just me and Alex. We do literally everything. And I think that's the way it should be done. All right, sir. After that breakdown, let's get into Chelsea 3, Manchester United 1. I even messed it up in the agenda. They were playing at the Wembley, as you famously coined, FA Cup, or Manchester United. Famous Manchester United going to Wembley. We're going to just win. Lineup comes out. Dave saves world number one in net. Let's have that conversation now.
Yeah, number one.
It's become a habit on the pod, but Romero starts.
Yeah.
100%. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the manager. You play Romero in the cup. He gets this far. You play Romero. You'd never balk on that decision. You can talk about all the other decisions you want. This one for me, it's probably a signal to Romero he's out because of Dino, and Dino's probably coming in. So it might be a little more calculated than that, but it's unfair to Romero. He played the entire competition. Did extremely well, only let in one goal, and then he pops De Gea in there. So before the match started, something was off.
Well, I'll tell you what, we did have the troll as our manager, and he knew some things about winning silverware. I hate to say it, for everything you say about Mourinho, he knows how to win. And the one thing he knew is he stuck with Romero, right? Took him all the way to the Europa League final. He won it there. So I think you keep it with him, especially because De Gea, he ain't playing lights out, and now he's got a howler of a game, and we've got two big games coming. So it's like, he was actually playing. He had a couple good games in a row, and now he's going to start the rest of those two games with a bad head.
No, I don't think he's going to be ruined for the other ones, but it's kind of it's a jersey move when he's the keeper for the FA Cup and you bring in De Gea in like the FA Cup semifinal.
I was very surprised to
see that. I think it's like one of those things where you put Romero in because it's not like Romero's played bad. It's not like he's Lee Grant, for Christ's sake. So I knocked that decision back 3. Okay. By Maguire, Lindelof, it's new. Williams, Matic, Fred, Wan-Bissaka, Fernandes in the hole. Rashford and James up top in a 3-5-2, 3-4-3, however you want to put it. That was what Ole laid it out. Definitely changed it. What were your thoughts there?
I didn't really get it because, you know, the subs are talking about the first on the team sheet, goalie. Where's Romero? It just give De Gea some rest. Doesn't make any sense. Then you play the back three, which we have played against Chelsea successfully this year. But why are you playing Matic? Why are you playing Bruno? And even why are you playing I don't get it. It's like, if we're going to act like it doesn't matter, then don't make it matter. We have players that are ready to play.
I'm going to just give you the counter argument to that, which I think a lot of people are saying right now in their headphones. It matters. It's the FA Cup. We need to win it. So for me, I don't think it's necessarily like, hey, let's write off the FA Cup. It's easy to say that now since we're out of the competition. But it's just one of those things where if you're going to rotate, rotate. Right.
If you're going to rotate, rotate. And we have a team that's good enough to beat Chelsea, because that team beat Chelsea early in the season without Bruno Fernandes, without Pogba at times, without Rashford at times. So I would play the kids, not the kids, but the guy, the second string, the Mata, the Galu, Dan James, you know, put them all out there, let them play, and then we'll see if you need to bring in the big guns. And instead, you play like mostly your big guns still, took a couple off.
Yeah, so I guess I totally agree with the theme here, but it's almost like we got to go pick them. You go like pick him individually. So like Maguire, he should probably be out there. Bye, yes. Lindelof, yeah. Center backs, you know, they're not doing as much work. Wan-Bissaka surely needs a break. But you can argue that he should be in there because there's no one else at the moment. Fred should start.
Yes, he should.
McTominay should be in there with him. And Williams has a head injury. Like, so I don't know what
Osimhen's again.
I don't know what doctor let Williams out there, but he clearly needs a few weeks, because he definitely is concussed, and he played like he was concussed. So you got to probably put Delo out there. Mata, Bruno desperately needs a rest. James should start, and then I put Greenwood at number nine. I put Greenwood and James.
Igalo, he scored goals in the FA Cup.
Yeah, actually, you're right. Igalo, and then that's enough rotation for me. Where you're like, okay, you get Bruno a rest. You can always bring him on for 30. You get Rashford a rest, right? You're taking a look at Igalo up top, and you got to rotate. And I think that's to be sufficient rotation. But the Bruno one, the Matic, and the Rashford, those three, those guys need rest. And that's where I disagree with Ole here. And as a good manager, I guess my critique at the end of the day for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is you need to be able to rotate. Because Sir Alex, he rotated all the time. We talked about the record. And you need to be able to rotate well. And this was a poor rotation. It didn't get critical players rest, and we looked bad.
Sometimes you got to start Darren Gibson in midfield. You know, like sometimes you got to just start these players because you got them. You got to do a back four of, you know, O'Shea, Silvestre, you know, just like Wes Brown. You got to just cobble together what you got and throw it out there, because the boys that need to win on Wednesday and Sunday need a blow.
Well, Sir Alex, he was the master. He knew sometimes you got to get away with one. And I think Fosu-Mensah should have played left back. I mean, that's a great example. Like sometimes maybe Fosu-Mensah needs to play center back, or needs to play left center back in a three. You got to get away with one on the field in different situations so you can have enough fresh players. Because if we go to West Ham and we come out sluggish and we come out tired, that's on Ole, in my opinion. You can yell at De Gea, you can yell at B-Dubs for the ball, you can critique players all along, but you need to manage this team through this tight fixture schedule, because you know there's only 90 million. Pounds at stake here. We're talking about Champions League football.
Talking about Sancho.
We're talking about Sancho. Jumping in first half, we're going to do a pretty abbreviated match recap here, because it's not really to write home about. Bruno had the free kick. I think that was our first shot on target. What, in like 30th minute? Then we had the big Bailly head injury. That looked pretty bad. So shout out to Eric Bailly. Anthony Martial comes on. I thought that was the right move. Ole was like trying to get Pogba to warm up. Based on that first half football, sluggish. Chelsea had the ball in our half. We couldn't pass out of the back, similar to, you know, Southampton, similar to Crystal Palace. If Crystal Palace, we have trouble dealing with them, we're going to have trouble dealing with Chelsea. This is a poor Chelsea side, but of all the teams, they looked the better side. And I look at that roster, I look at ours, and I have to think it's just tired legs.
I would agree, because we are a better team. And even when we finally brought on all the big guns, in the second half, they still look better than us, because they're playing harder. I think they've had more of a rest. I think they've rotated a little bit more. The boys look spent, you know. At times, we had a couple chances, but it wasn't even the United that we've gotten used to, the second-tier United, in terms of like not being quite there, because we really didn't put much together in the second half, right? We got a penalty, but we weren't having like gilded chances and just not taking them. We got outplayed by Chelsea today.
No, absolutely. And then we're talking 56th minute. Chelsea score. I mean, United switching off at this point. Some like the breaks, the water breaks, whatever. Our back line, it was terrible. B Dubs, Matic just let who is Azpilicueta by. He puts in a great ball, and Lindelof gets caught. Goal side, and it's a goal, and it's a really sloppy switch off at the end of the half goal, like the switch off at the end of the game goal against Southampton. And
mentality.
It's literally mentality, and it's.
Because you know you got to hold that line. You know you can. You're not. You haven't been good. You got to not let
into half.
You can't let a goal up. It's like all you have to do is not concede, and it's probably a victory for United, because it's like, all right, second half, we're tied in this game.
Exactly.
Start getting the win. And instead, you let a shit goal up, and you're like, we're fucked. As soon as that happened, you're like, unless we do subs at halftime and we start clicking, and even then, it wasn't the right tempo coming out of the second half. The fact that you're down in a semifinal.
So we come out of this second half trying to put something together, try to string it together. B B-dubs, I mean, I absolutely love Brandon Williams, but I honestly have to believe that he's playing with a head injury. He gives the ball away. Mason Mount goes in, shoots it right at De Gea. De Gea, just one of the worst I've seen in a while since Barcelona in the Champions League quarterfinals. De Gea just, you know, ever since he signed that big money deal, ever since he was thinking about that big money deal, it's like he makes the hard saves and can't do the easy ones. And it's hard to see as a fan because I'm such a big fan of De Gea. I'm never going to be mad at him. The goalie, it's really on the mental side. But if I'm looking at the calendar, this is probably more than a year of this. This is well more than a year.
Well more.
Leading the league, and Dean Henderson looks pretty good. So I honestly think the best thing for De Gea, who's faltering, is to bring Dino in next season and challenge him for the job. Yep. And guess what? If he can't pull it together, he can sit on the bench and make $350K a week. Ain't bad.
And I don't, you know what? I don't think they were going
to feel that bad.
I don't think they were going to do that, but I think they might be doing that now.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's such a liability at this point. Like you said, when he's on, he's still De Gea. He still lights out, I mean, at his best. But, like, dude, Mason, it made Mason Mount look like Mason Greenwood. I mean, like, terrible. Terrible goal to let in.
Oh, it was your. You're screaming.
Furious.
And talk about conceding a sloppy goal going in half, conceding a sloppy goal coming out of half. And that's just not how you win anything, right? Paul Pogba comes on. Fred gets pulled.
Didn't do
your
much.
Boy Fred, what did you make of his performance today?
Didn't play great. Didn't make. I don't think he made a tackle all day.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it.
Let's move on. Poor Fred. I'll pass the story.
Then 56
James
minute,
didn't do much either.
James off. Greenwood on. Dan James. Let's get in the gym for next year, mate. That's all I'm going to say about that one. Pogba got a yellow after he came on. Fosu-Mensah came on. Wan-Bissaka off. Fosu-Mensah came on, looked good.
He did.
He's well-rested. He looks sharp. I mean, I can't really slate these players too much other than De Gea because they're exhausted, you know, and that really does matter.
But a goalie shouldn't be exhausted, right?
No, that's what I'm saying. You can slate De Gea because he shouldn't be exhausted. Right. But all the other players, like Bruno, for example, not having a good game, they're tired. They need rest. Bruno Fernandes, 85th minute, Martial wins the penalty. Bruno gets it. I mean, from the penalty spot, it's a beautiful thing to see. Bruno Fernandes, I mean, forever Manchester United's penalty taker.
What was their third goal? I don't even remember their third goal.
Oh, yeah, we totally skipped over Chelsea's third goal.
Harry Maguire own goal, yes, yeah. Of course. That's why I forgot.
How could we forget? Yeah. Harry Maguire own goal in the 74th. I was trying to get to our goal first.
I know, you just kind of conveniently skipped over that goal. That was not pretty either.
No, not at all. And we don't have any MASH audio for you guys. Okay, that's it. United lose 3-1. Worst game ever. Shit game at the Wembley. We lose to Chelsea. The Chelsea scum. Stats. Sir, do you want to try to look up Ole's presser if you can find it?
Let's see if I can find.
Yeah, stats-wise. Sorry, you guys. We're doing this right after the game, so we're doing it live. Manchester United had 51.3% of the ball. Chelsea had 48.7% of the ball. Shots 7-13. Shots on target 7-3. And passing was pretty even. But, you know, we absolutely got rocked at the end of the day. Manchester United have been eliminated from the FA Cup final by Chelsea for the sixth time in their history. Only Arsenal have knocked out the Red Devils more with 7. This was Chelsea's first victory against Manchester United since 2018 FA Cup final. The Blues were winless in 6 matches across all competitions against the Red Devils prior to today. I mean, you do have to kind of look at the record coming in. Chelsea had lost 4, drawn 2. So Chelsea are also the first side to beat Manchester United since Burnley in the Premier League back in January, ending United's 19-game unbeaten streak in all competitions. Shout out to Ole and the boys for that amazing streak. Has been a serious run, and that should not go unlauded. But if we don't race silverware and we don't make top 4, no one's really going to be that concerned about it. And since Manchester United, and since his debut in February, no Premier League player has been involved in more goals across all competitions than guess who? Bruno Fernandes.
He's a pretty good player.
9 goals, 8 assists. Bruno Fernandes, our Portuguese Magnifico. So he continues to just be a huge bright spot for Manchester United, something we could build on into next season, sir. Any luck on that presser?
Let's see if this works. If you have a go, live.
Yeah.
We'll do it live. Let's see.
Let's see what he says.
Today. Very general question. Of course, the blow to Eric's head when Harry and Eric and they stayed down for a long time. We seemed to lose concentration for a little while. And of course, losing or conceding the goal straight after that had a massive impact on the game.
Hamlockhurst?
Ollie, I know it's a difficult week with having three games and having to rotate and possibly prioritise certain games, but given the team that you put out today, was it a case of maybe having to prioritise Wednesday because the players, or certain players, were so tired today?
We picked the team today to give us a best possible opportunity to go through in the cup and be ready for Wednesday. And it didn't work today. Of course, we came almost to half time. We had to change when Eric had to come off. And but that will stand us in good stead for Wednesday. But we didn't. I picked the team today to go through.
To unmute yourself, James.
Hi, Ollie. You've been obviously very supportive of David. There were obviously a lot of disappointing performances out there today, but there was another bad error from him. If these persist, at some point, are you going to have a decision to make on your goalkeeper?
And obviously, everyone has to perform, and everyone has a chance every time we perform to stake a claim in the team. David knows he should have saved a second goal, but that's done now. We've got to move on. We've got to look forward to Wednesday. You can see it's hard for a keeper to make amends apart from David's making two or three fantastic saves after. But you see Brandon, for example, the character he shows. He plays a square pass into Mount. He probably feels a bit responsible. And the rest of the half, he was absolutely outstanding. The kid has been out for a while, not played, out with an eye injury. And his character and personality out there, he kept going. It's so much easier for outfield.
So, sir, that is the great interview from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Sorry for the audio quality. We were literally pulling up on YouTube on our phones because we're recording this right after the match, and it's hard to get all the audio clips teed up like we would like to. Ole touching on a few things. I love the De Gea question to the boy, Brandon Williams is great.
Yeah. You don't want to throw any player under the bus, but we got a better shot in this game with Romero. It puts a lot of pressure on De Gea, too. It's like, I think that's the big mistake was that. It's like, why start De Gea? He's been out of form.
It's the goal he gave up. Going down one isn't a big deal, but then the two is like, then it's, you know, it's the, I believe he gave up that same goal. Like we got scored on against Barca.
That goal against Barca.
And it was like, we're still in it, and then he lets in the error on the second to 2-0 goal. That is the killer. Because one goal, you're always in the match, and you can't be giving up that goal, especially at that time, right coming out of half. So, like, I also think Ole hit on a few points. He did put out a team to win. I think that's clear.
Clear.
And I also think that the only thing De Gea can do is play lights out against West Ham and Leicester. That's the only thing he can do. There's nothing you can say. He's literally got to prove it on the pitch. So we should just let him earn it.
I mean, who's going to start the Europa League games? You're right, because he's going to start the next two games. Barring injury, he's our guy. But I guess it depends, right? I think if we have to win Europa League and he's a howler, you start Romero in the Europa League, right?
Yeah, but we were playing the David De Gea Can Save the Titanic audio clips last week.
Because he had the first good game in a minute. Yeah. I mean, he finally had a good game.
All right, so look, that's the FA Cup recap. We are out of it. We're not adding that trophy to our new scarf. Unfortunately, it was a trophy I thought we could win. I literally, in my heart, I saw Ole holding it up, you know, and everyone.
Poor Chelsea side.
Saw us winning the FA Cup, beating City, and then not making top four. That's kind of how I saw it. But now it looks the other way. They have a tall mountain to climb, and let's hope they can get it done. Because as a manager of this club, like I told you, the feel-good factor, only Mr. Nice Guy, everything's great, but what is this club built on? It's built on trophies. It's built on winning, sir, and that's what we expect to do. If you do not do that, then you should not expect to hold that job over the long term.
It's a results-based business. It's one of the toughest jobs in the world. This club, we've got high standards. We've been patient for a long time, but this team's good enough to usurp Leicester and Chelsea. Those teams are not that good, and this squad is pretty solid. With everybody fit and firing, we should be able to finish the top four. So last two games, It's like a final after a final, right? We're going to have to, West Ham is the biggest one, honestly. Because then you could be in a position where if you beat West Ham, then you can get a draw against Leicester and win. And what, still make it.
No, absolutely. But it's the intangible of the, what is the X factor that makes you win? How can you win three leagues in a row? Like, why can't City do a three in a row? And the answer is that it takes such an, like, if you look at Pep Guardiola's side losing to Arsenal, it's like those players aren't going to get up for that game because they're just like not. They're excited about Champions League. They haven't won that yet. They're getting paid too much money. They don't really care about the FA Cup. But Sir Alex is able to drive a team to care about every single little morsel that they could win and get out there and do it. And that's the attitude we need to have. That performance today, sad to say it, not quite there. Not going to win you trophies. That mentality, not going to win you trophies. And it's tough to see. Tough to see at Manchester United. That's almost like a Chelsea mentality. Like Chelsea came out like, hope we can win. I don't know. Like winning, you got to be mean. You got to have an edge. And you got to put in challenges. You got to get in players' faces. You got to want it. I didn't see much of that fire today. Maybe in individuals, but as a team, did not have it.
No, and I think we've shown that in the early part of the restart. There was a grit to the side.
Exactly.
That felt like an old United team. And today we felt like a bunch of wusses, just like a bunch of softies, like an old, I don't want to say like a Van Gaal team, but we just like, we were soft today and we lost to a team that isn't that good and they didn't play that well. And we gave up two shit goals and an own goal. It was like, let's move on to the next one because West Ham is massive and it's the biggest game of the season.
All right. It's
the biggest game of the season.
Switching gears out of another cup competition. Look, top four, a lot going on. Spurs, big result. They beat Leicester. So the table as it stands right now, checking in.
Tied.
Right now, Chelsea was 63 in third. Leicester was 62. Manchester United was 62. We are tied on points.
They're ahead of us because they scored more goals.
They have 39. What is it? They have 28 plus 28 goal differential. We're tied on goal differential now because they got beat by three. That was a key score line. Manchester United plus 28. We were tied on points, tied on goal differential. I believe the next one goes to the head-to-head, the tiebreak of
no,
that.
No, it doesn't actually go to the most goals scored. I checked this. That's why they're ahead of us because they scored 67.
Damn.
And we scored 63, bro.
Wow. So, but I, look, a draw at West Ham.
Oh, we're,
you know.
Draw at West Ham, we're above them.
No, but then, and then if tied they tie us at the end of the season, we draw them at the end. So, we haven't gone through all the scenarios. I'll probably do that and post it on Twitter.
No, let's beat West Ham first.
Yeah. But this shows you how important this West Ham game is. And kudos to you on getting that tiebreaker. I swear it was head-to-head. I always get the World Cup.
I thought it was that a week ago until someone said it on some punditry.
Somewhere. Rival watch Leicester play us next Sunday. So, look, that's it for them. They have a week to rest. They're going to come out firing. And that's going to be... That's another thing to take into account. Chelsea play Liverpool Wednesday. Liverpool on the slide, but they should be able to beat Chelsea. And then they play Wolves Sunday. So Chelsea, hopefully, third is not out of out of our capabilities just yet. I actually want three. We have a bet with a Chelsea fan on the text thread for three. God, we were getting it today on the text thread. It was
sorry, I didn't even look.
It was tough. Sir, they were trying to get me to bet the game beforehand. I wasn't going to touch that.
I saw that lineup. No, thanks.
I was like,
we went out. We're third, though. In my mind, because I think Chelsea are going to drop points. So I don't think we're going to win out. But if we do, we will finish third.
Booking the bookies, top four odds after the Leicester loss here. Chelsea minus 1,100. Manchester United minus 700. So almost doubled the odds for us making top four. Leicester plus 220. So they're sliding. Lot moving here. Manchester United, those odds just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But my confidence in this team is getting lower and lower and lower. Might want to hedge. That's why there's always a next match, sir. West Ham versus West Ham, the Amas versus Manchester United, Old Trafford, Wednesday, July 22nd at 10 a.m. Say goodbye to the weekday games here for a bit after this one. We've won 66. We've drawn 31, lost 45. The Hammers. Done quite a bit against Manchester United. I'm sure most of that comes before 1950. First played February 1911. We lost 2-1 in the FA Cup to West Ham. And fun facts from 1911, first use of a rearview mirror was in 1911 at the Indy 500, at the first Indy 500. Interesting. And the first airplane ever to land on a ship occurred January 18th, 1911. Wow. In the USS Pennsylvania and San Francisco Bay. Wow. Airplanes history, invented, landing on ships.
Look how far we've come.
We've come a long way since we first played West Ham. Unbelievable. Now we got phones. iPhones.
That's it.
We lost to West Ham 2-0 in the beginning of the season. We remember that one. That was tough. Another one of those Burnley ones, Newcastle, West Ham. It's been so long, I forget them.
Didn't we lose to West Ham on your wedding day?
Yes.
Red wedding?
That was like 2 years ago.
That was with Mourinho before the sack.
Yeah, that was another tough loss. But, sir, I got married. It was a great day.
That's been great. That's been great.
I don't need the extra boost there. Club was founded in 1895 as the Thames Ironworks and reformed in 1900 as West Ham United. They moved to the Bowling Ground in 1904, which remained their home ground for more than a century. That's kind of where those hammers come from, the ironworks. West Ham have been winners of the FA Cup 3 times, 64, 75, 1980, and have also been runners-up twice. The club have reached 2 major European finals, winning the European Cup Winners' Cup in 1965 and finishing runners-up in the same competition in 76. So West Ham was big time back in the 60s, 70s. The club's highest position to date came in 85, 86 when they achieved 3rd place in the first division. West Ham, not a team to mess with. David Moyes, sir, we went to Sunderland away. Moyes was coaching a relegation-bound Sunderland side. We laughed all day at David Moyes. What a chump. What a moron. He's completely a loser.
You're going to get us.
Is the universe perfect? Does karma exist? Are we going to rue the day that we laughed at David Moyes when we beat him in Sunderland and he was getting relegated?
Probably. Certainly feels like it. It feels like last year all over again. Just like, yeah, bad result. It gets in the players' heads. You combine that with some tired legs and West Ham on the up. They want to play. They got a lot to play for, right? They're fighting for their survival. So it's a huge game. This is such a big game. So
when you say fighting for survival, they're not relegated. Not relegation.
They were. They went on a run, didn't they? They've been on good form.
They've been on. No, they're not in the bottom of the table. No.
Where are they?
In the table? I'll pull it up right now. West Ham is
15th.
15th. 37.
So they're six off the drop.
Six off the drop.
So they are safe because Moyes actually, he's gone on a decent run since the restart. They worry me, man. Antonio's been playing well.
You know, they could be in trouble. But I mean, I don't think all these teams are going to win. So yeah, I mean, like, they've been playing well. I mean, the key thing for West Ham, they've won 2 on the trot, 4-0, 3-1. They're scoring goals, and our defense looks pretty poor. And we have a tired defense on top of that. And Antonio looks like a beast. Like Maguire's gonna have if Maguire looked shaky and tired, and Lindelof looks like he can't handle like Mason Mount, it's like guess what? Antonio is about to run you over like a freight train and put it in the back of the net behind a shaky De Gea. I mean, it's amazing how quickly we started the restart. Defense wasn't even on the mind. It was, can we score goals? Can we break down lower opposition size? Now it's like, can we cobble it together at the back? It's amazing how it changes.
And we also don't look nearly as lethal on the counter. We just like, we remember everything was coming off in the counter. We look lights out. We look like old United.
We're tired.
We are tired. Because the boys are just, they look tired. We're sloppy. And I think that's from tired legs and just... We got to freshen it up. So I think he's going to go with the de facto 11 and then cobble in the back line somehow. Somehow.
Physio room injuries piling up. Shaw, Williams, Twanzebe, Bae, Phil Jones.
Could use a defender.
Could use Phil Jones.
Could use Chris Smalling right now. Milkman.
I know. I have no idea. Given that is the injuries, what is your starting 11 for West Ham? Everything in the kitchen sink.
David De Gea, I have a feeling he's going to be busy. I have a feeling he's going to make his... I feel like if we win this game, it's because David De Gea is heroic. So he's starting to net back four. Who you got? Who we got left? AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, and Fosu Mensah. I mean, I guess Fosu Mensah, he's our guy. He looked solid the last time he started. Midfield, Matic, Bruno, Pogba. Front three, Rashford, Martial, Greenwood. Who you got? That's who you got. Got to go win.
Yeah, I do the same. De Gea, Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Fosu Mensah, Matic, Pogba, Bruno, Rashford, Martial, Greenwood. No questions asked about that lineup. It's just that they're tired, and I think West Ham is on the rise, and they're going to be well-rested. They're going to be a well-rested West Ham. Booking the bookies, United minus 417, plus 550, West Ham plus 1,100. So again, odds on favorite. As far as the well-rested West Ham comment, I actually don't know when the last fixture was played, so I can't really say that, so I'll take that one back. to score first for Manchester United, plus 350. Martial, Rashford, Fernandes, Greenwood. So you're seeing the bookies. All these guys are starting. Those odds have been slashed. Agallo plus 400. Dan James plus 650. Pogba plus 750. Jesse Lingard plus 850, sir. I should be getting like way more for that Lingard pick. What do you make?
What's Fred? He's off the charts. I'm not confident. I can see the draw seems like what it could be. It just feels like a draw. That'd probably be a decent result for us, to be honest. Right? If you can get a draw and you go ahead of Leicester, then you basically can't lose on the last day of the season. We might find ourselves in that position where I want us to be finishing strength over strength and just like cruising top four, and instead it's going to be fighting for our lives.
Okay, so West Ham played Friday and they beat Watford 3-1. And so they will have 2 days of rest on us. So the similar amount that Chelsea had. And that's something, you know, in this type of turnaround, that's going to matter quite a bit for West Ham. And I think they're going to give our backline trouble. So I'm not feeling too confident. So what's your score prediction? I think you just said it, but...
I'm going to call 1-1. 1-1 tie. Old. I tell you, we're not finished with all
four of nothing. We smoke them. We're back, baby. Yeah.
Will, man, he's doing it. He's doing his thing. Man United are back.
There you go. You heard it from
you. Win 4-0. You win 4-0. We're back on the wheel because never it's still unbeaten in the league.
Never give up.
Gotta win.
We got some more news. United in the news. Manchester United latest news brought to you by the American Red Devils, sir. Kicking it off. Who else? I feel like, you know, we're paupers here in the transfer market. Manchester United will not get cut price deal for Dortmund winger. The volleys have started. United, we're not paying you a lot for this like unbelievably rated English talent. Dortmund, you are going to pay us a lot. United, we're not going to pay you a lot. We're going to see a lot of this until pretty much the close of the window. What do you make of this rumor? Comes from BBC. So, you know, BBC, Simon Stone, he has sources close to Dortmund, I would imagine, or the BBC does.
I'll tell you one thing. If we're getting Jadon Sancho, we're paying up. They're not selling a cut rate Jadon Sancho. They're not going to be selling Jadon Sancho for 65 million, 70 million, 75. Like we spent 80 million on Slabhead. They're going to make us pay at least more than that. I said more than Pogba. So we're going to pay up. If we get a deal done, it's because we finished in the top four and we probably paid 100 million in installments, right? 50 up front, maybe, or 30, 33. You know, I don't know.
Look, I think there's a deal to be done. I think Sancho wants out. I think Dortmund knows that. I think they want a big price for him. I think what United can do if we make Champions League via the Europa League or via top four, because we're going to get that 80 million. And first of all, as it relates to Manchester United and their money situation, doesn't look like fans are coming back anytime soon. So as far as that goes, like they're going to be in a pretty tight crunch. It's going to depend on who they can sell. And if we make Champions League, so if we can sell everyone we want to sell and we can make Champions League, we could do a deal, but it has to look like a blockbuster deal, but it's going to be structured. So it'd be one where we'll pay them like 75 up front and then have like, you know, 60 million in add-ons over 5 years or something like that. They could do a deal. There's a deal that can be done. I'm not really going to pay attention too much because it's come down to the end of the year, but you'll know how bad their finance. So if we don't make top four, no Sancho.
No Sancho at all.
I will guarantee you.
You're talking Cantwell, bro. You're talking Cantwell budget.
I will absolutely guarantee you Sancho is not coming to United short of a major strategic inflow of cash, something like that. It would have to happen. If that changes, then we can obviously buy him. But I don't think the Glazers are going to dilute their ownership for that, for just Jadon Sancho. The Glazers aren't sitting there right now being like, oh, we really need Jadon Sancho. They're not thinking about that at all. They're thinking of like, how much money can we make? When there are fans back, those are the things.
I think I'm like, we need to finish in the Champions League. Yes. Or like, oh, yes. We're screwed. We got to raise more debt. Yes. They want to, You see Woodward's face today? He's worried because he knows, like, you lose one
game.
He's
wearing a mask.
He's worried. He still looks worried. You can tell by his eyes he looks worried. Not a confident man.
No, and I'd imagine that's when the phone call goes to Ole when this Chelsea game is going on. Be like, we need top four. Just a reminder, top four. Next bit of news, we'll keep you posted on Sancho. I'm sure we'll be seeing that all summer long. Next bit of news from ESPN. Shout out to ESPN. These guys are kind of Muppets on TV, but you know, their journos come with something. Man United proved they are good again, but will the Glazers invest to help them return to glory? Again, this comes from Ogden, the senior ESPN writer. I like how they're kind of taking a shot at the Glazers here. Like, are they going to invest? But the one thing I tell Mark Ogden it's not a question of are they going to invest, it's a question of how. How will they raise the money to invest in the team? And right now, if you look at the public documents, they don't have it. Their next filing comes out September. We'll do the full run-up. I'll update my financial model. I'll give you guys the full picture. By that time, we should be in the thick of the transfer market. So it'll be interesting to hear Woodward's comments on the investor call. But the question is, where is the money going to come from? They need to sell a lot of players that are not worth a lot, and they need to make Champions League.
I was looking at the clock for a reason. We'll know in 7 days. Champions League.
Well, Europa League too.
I know, but you rate us in a must-win Europa League. I think we're much better suited right now. Win these two games versus go to like a knockout-style elimination tournament where we play in Germany or Portugal. I don't even remember. I know we got a good draw of it, but we were talking about it, bro. We could see us getting knocked out by like FC Copenhagen in like one game, one off.
No, we won't lose to them. We'll make it to the, it'll be like Inter. A semi-final, final. You know,
Wolves.
Yeah. The Wolves could be the spoiler. Next bit of news. Slan Wright discusses Manchester United news signings and claims I've heard Donny van den Beek quite a bit around Old Trafford. We've covered van den Beek as well. I rate him. Watch his highlights. Exactly what we need. Tall midfielder. Play CDM. Heir apparent to Matic. Maybe be able to get a cut price deal from our boy Edwin van der Sar, who's over at Ajax, instead of a Declan Rice. You know, that English talent commands the top dollar. Van de Beek, 30 mil, something like that. But again, if you're paying 30 million for Van de Beek, Manchester United is so cash strapped that you won't be getting Sancho.
It's like I said, that's why I said in 7 days we'll know, because you finish in the top four and August is just an upside, right? Trophy to win. That takes the pressure off of you. And also, it allows Woodward to know, I got this 80 million coming. We can actually try and make a deal work with Sancho. So it's all like on the line right now, because obviously, we can get in Champions League with Europa League, but we are in pole position. If we don't finish in top four, we blew it.
If we don't make top four,
we got to beat West Ham and tie Leicester.
Or win Europa League, and fans are in the stadium after January of 2021, Manchester United are going to run out of cash. They're going to have to lay people off. They're going to have to, like, they burn so much money, it's insane. They need, as a business, without the Champions League money, they need to like name the stadium, like, you know,
Maui Jim
Stadium. They need to name Old Trafford Maui Jim Stadium. Like, that will be the solution, because they desperately need that money. Like, desperately need that money. And, you know, it's almost not an option. But the bookies have it -700, so I don't know why I'm sweating so much, but I just... As a club, it's funny. You have to root for the club on the field, but then you also have to take into account their balance sheet, and I'm rooting for the money at this point.
Because we know, I hate to say it, we know that us making big deals this summer, really moving the needle and advancing this team next year, which is what we need to do. We need to get better. You've seen it. We need to strengthen. The only way it's going to happen is if we finish in the top four, which is why, who gives a fuck about the FA Cup? Now, like, the more we talk about it, the more you realize the FA Cup doesn't matter at all. It's just about winning. And now we have a tired team.
Well, it sucks.
Two cup finals. Wednesday and Sunday are cup finals, basically.
Yes, exactly. But the thing is, it sucks as a fan that you need to take into account the team's balance sheet in what you root for.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, what's scary is the Glazers have invested quite a bit into Tampa Bay this season. So I don't think they're going to be like trying to invest quite a bit in Manchester United. People can slay you all around for that take. But that's part of it. If you look how the Glazers are running their franchises, United, it would be a crime not to invest in this team. And when you see Chelsea making these moves, and what we talked about during the game, hey, look, Chelsea's got out of Havertz. They're out of Werner. They're going to add that Zajcik. I can't even pronounce his name. You can see it. Chelsea's going to add these players, and they're going to get a lot better. And like Liverpool, they're the one not adding because they won the title.
Right.
And so now you're seeing the owners like, well, clearly there's a Russian billionaire laundering money through Chelsea, so that's why they're trying to spend it. But if you look at the intent of the ownership with Chelsea, it's different. And Liverpool, and they have American owners too, because they're thinking about bottom line, profit, Glazers, profit. So whereas Glazers really need to dump $300 million, they need to go into the equity markets, they need to raise more money and invest in this side right now, because this side could be Champions League winning if we bring in a Sancho, we bring in a center back, we bring in a Rice, we bring in a Van de Beek, we just like get some worldies in this team. We could really compete and have Ole at the wheel. But it's like they're not thinking that way, and that's not the that's not the goal for them. So we're probably just going to see a tough summer, and Ole still at the wheel, no matter what. There's no way they're going to get rid of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at this point, in my opinion. Even if we don't make top four, even if we don't win anything, I think Ole is here to stay, which I like, because he's good at that type of team. But We need to be winning things. We need to be winning things.
And you know what? The goalposts move. Top four counts as a win at this point. You finish the top four.
Yes.
All is great. I'm really curious to see is what happens. What are the Glazers' intentions if we finish in the top four and get that $80 million and they don't spend? That's very possible. It's like, well, then
you read it at theamericanreddevils.com before anywhere. Before you read it on BBC, before anyone else, you read it here. Yo, Manchester United are broke. And it's because I'm going through the finances. Simon Stone, reach out to me. You know, I'll tell you all about it. I'm happy to go on your pod.
Happy to do it. Happy
I'm
to
sure
do
he's
it.
Got a pod. Where he, hey, I can't hear you, Ole.
That's going to be telling. We got to get there first, right? Let's win these next two games. Let's put us in a good position. But then the team's got to be spending. Because like you said, it's criminal to get them that close. Because they did it with Mourinho. Now, if you're going to do it with Ole, if you can put some results together, finish in the top four. Let's win a Europa League.
Fans need to be educated. And that's why if they don't invest in this side right now, green and gold to the club is sold. That's sure. The rule. Don't buy their stuff. Don't buy ManchesterUnited.com. Wear the green scarf. Love the team. Protest the ownership. Demand investment. Football fans need to be educated. It sucks that when you need to deal with this stuff. But at the end of the day, I'd probably rather bitch about the Glazers not spending money than worrying about like my Russian billionaire's human rights record, right? You know, you can compare it. Be like, do you just want some, do you want to sell your soul to the devil?
They already did. You know? I mean, they already did. They knew what they were getting when he came.
But I don't want that.
I know, neither do I. That's why we don't want, a certain owner that we've talked about over the last, 12 to 18 months coming in. I'd like the Glazers to put the lowest level common denominator in terms of money on the table, right? This team they pulled so much cash out of United. If we can have the promising signals that this team should be invested in, then invest in them. Let's finish the top four, and I want the Glazers to let us down. Okay. That's what they're going to do.
You know, it's a tough day when we just start just talking about the Glazers.
Ranting.
So
just ranting.
it's the passion for this team at the end of the day. Jump in. Fan questions. Thank you for the comments, questions, and banter. We really appreciate it. At TZolski on Twitter. Brutal. We lack depth to compete in all competitions. Losing Bailly shows the need for another center back badly. All eyes on West Ham. Well said, Todd. What do you make of that?
We might need two center backs. We need a set. I mean, we all thought we were good a couple of months ago, about midfielders, strikers. We need a center back. It's a priority buy.
See, at Ty Kircher, quote, we did not prioritize the cup final, which is embarrassing. Got done in bad today. We'd best kill West Ham Wednesday after this. Hoodie undefeated no more. Oh, that's tough. Heads up, lads. Glory, glory, Man United. Yeah, so, Ty saying we should have played everyone,
I think it's the opposite. I think you took it too seriously by starting De Gea, by starting Bruno, by starting Rasher, by starting Manchester
United.
We have a good team. You should be able to go out there with your reserves and beat them because they got fresh legs. Okay. And they're ready to play.
So Ty, you have a good point. We did. How could we not prioritize the FA Cup? Well, the only reason why we're having the discussion we are is because the players are so tired. So maybe the prioritization should have been before the FA Cup, and there should have been rotation against Crystal Palace, or there should have been rotation against some of the shittier teams we played.
Should have been rolling,
right? So, but I can't go full revisionist history. I have to look at what should Ole have done this game, and I would have said based on how haggard we looked against Crystal Palace, and we need to make top four for the money. We almost should have rotated like crazy today. So that's the only. I do agree with you. We should have prioritized it, but the rotation should have come sooner.
Yeah,
we have talked about what was Ole going to do, and it looks to me these critical moments, these critical decisions. We might be taking a look at him if we don't make top four at the end of the day. Next tweet, at Red Devil Woody, quote, fucking shite. De Gea, that defense are completely shite. Fred can fuck off too. No more to say. I mean, there you go.
Fred was not
That's
good.
That's therapy right there.
De Gea was not good. Center backs were not good. It's like you watch that game and you're like.
I'll tell you what, you might have said
I got
that.
No joy out of it. I got no joy out of it. It was joyless.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm already in acceptance. I'm already into protesting
West
Glazers.
West Ham's going to be brutal.
I'm already into protest the Glazers 2021. Yeah, that's where my head is right now. It's like protesting the shit ownership. That's where I'm at. At Dave Paz, quote, Hendo had to come back and push De Gea to be better. I love that take. It's absolutely, he says, it's obvious we have no depth and our first 11 are knackered. If we get top four and nothing else, it will do. Dave Paz, just give me top four. Just give me top four. That's all I want. I think we're going to get it. At C_Gibbons, quote, disappointing, but lots still in front of us. regroup, come out strong, and smash West Ham. Mostly upset. The hoodie is no longer undefeated. Christian, appreciate that one. I like that the positivity lost still in front of us. We need to regroup. And my one criticism of Ole of last season was when it slid, he couldn't stop the slide.
Well, that's why we're all jumping to the conclusion. I'm going to jump to my conclusion board. It's like literally because we saw this. What did I say? Watch the guy. I've seen this game before. I've heard this pod before. And I've seen the end of this season before. And it was last year. And it killed me, sir. Killed me. And if it happens again, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to need a vacation. I can't take vacations. That's also killed me. I don't want to talk about it. Anyway, we need to finish. We need to beat West Ham. And I'm worried because the boys are tired. And West Ham, they got an extra 2 games. Sir, extra 2 days.
You know what we'll do? If we don't make top four, we'll take up meditation. You know,
that's
what
we need something.
Add Blair underscore with no E underscore. Damn, that was flat. They didn't look like they wanted it. Abysmal passing all day. Slow tempo. Couldn't play it out of the press. Great point, Blair. I hope it's a wake-up call now. If not, we're going to tank like last season when top four is in control. Frankly, I can't handle that again.
I'm telling you. I'm losing it.
I love it. At the Alex Davis 33, quote, only ourselves to blame. All 3 goals easily avoidable. Another great point. Chelsky didn't do anything brilliant. Recall Dino ASAP. Look, competition. Manchester United is, what have you done for me lately? Everyone's job is up for grabs. Sir Alex always played mind games to get the best out of players. De Gea surely needs Dino burning behind him. I mean, like, it's going to be one of those, like, De Gea has a mare. It's like, Dino, you're in West Ham, and then earn the job, and the De Gea might be on the bench. And look, that's how it is. This is not like you're not trying to befriend anyone, trying to win football matches, trying to win silverware, trying to win titles. Hey, Karius, Liverpool, he had one bad game, played bad in the Champions League final.
Big game.
Had a concussion, and they shipped him out like he was nothing. And they got a new keeper in.
And they won. Yeah, there you go.
So that's the move.
We have a pretty good backup keeper right now, even before you recalled Dino, that could have played today, could have been the difference. Why go with De Gea? It just didn't make any sense.
I feel like Romero is the opposite day. He does the easy things well, and he might not get the world.
Made him.
At MJ Fit 16, quote, De Gea looks like Brad Guzan. Shout out to U.S. men's national team. It's awful. I'm worried about how streaky we are and how it will carry over. At C underscore Pogne 17, quote, unpopular opinion, but worth discussing. De Gea time has looked to be up for a bit now. Yes, he has spectacular moments, but has more gaps that cost games. Sell De Gea in the summer, make Henderson number one. I don't think that's unpopular at the moment. When I checked Twitter, everything was pretty going in on De Gea.
I mean, if this was like a one-off or even like a bad slide since the restart or even just like a bad start since the beginning of the season, be one thing. This has been going on arguably since the end of Mourinho. He was starting to slip a little bit. You know, there were holes in the armor that we had never seen from De Gea other than when he first joined United and was like small little runt that was getting pushed down the box. This is new, and it's not been going away, and it feels like a new normal. So, like I said, he's got a couple big games left to prove his worth. He's got to be busy.
Well, look, at one point, he was the man that made us top four, and then now he might be the man, you know.
Yep.
So, like, we go from one time being like, how could we ever win anything or do anything without him, and now we're looking at, like, maybe he's hindering us, because I'm going to say that that Champions League quarterfinal against Barca, that's when, I was like, that's unforgivable. That type of error on that type of stage for that type of team, and it's just too much. Like, you need the keeper to step up. You need to step up. At Banjo Boy for Life, Devin, our boy, give us some good news here. Quote, squad looked exhausted, and that's completely understandable too. Ole needs to add depth to his side to give key players a rest. Squad needs to put this loss behind them and focus on beating West Ham Wednesday. I'm very disappointed with David De Gea today. So even Devin, he says disappointed in his tweets. So, you know.
Always an optimist. It's disappointing. It happened like a couple games ago. It's not like this is a one-off. It's frustrating.
At Mr. G. Carlson on Twitter, quote, I was expecting a final-like performance from the players, but was disappointed we couldn't shake the injuries, but I'm still confident we land top four. I'm confident as well. Okay, a few more tweets here. At you, Bolson, quote, every single player on the pitch deserves 3 or less out of 10. Don't let them on the bus. I like that. Roy Keane, shout out Roy Keane. Looks like last season, fun and games until crunch time, then bottling it. If Ole fails to correct this attitude before West Ham, we're in deep shit. Also, it's time to retire David De Gea. The strong opinions time from Ulrich. Retire. What do you think? Don't let him on the bus.
Whew, he might be getting a lift home. It was not great. It was, I think, the first goal. He should be saving that. David De Gea, in form, is saving that first shot. The Mason Mount shot is like you in warm-up, dude. That was like not a great shot. Even worse goal to let up, and it just kills you. Because you let up that second goal. At the beginning of the second half, the game's over.
All right, last tweet here at Burkett Mets on Twitter. Quote, no need to overanalyze such a poor performance. Couldn't agree more. Need to make sure it doesn't leak into West Ham. Full speed ahead for top four. I mean, that hits the nail on the head, and that's what Sir Alex says. Like, it's okay to lose one, but the next one has to have a lot of, the next performance has to have a lot of piss and vinegar in it, because you got to kill the bad juju. You got to get back to it. You saw at some points in the game after Bruno converted that penalty, all right, now we got to pop in our step. Like, we need a little more of that. And for some reason, when we come out flat, we have trouble finding it. It's almost like we need to concede to get woken up. Reminds me of earlier this year, United need to have that mentality where they lose one and they know they got to squash it early. They need no need to get the games. They need to get goals early. They need the results. They need to get subs. You know, the strategy has to be really clear. Like, oh, like, go out there. Let's win it in the first half. Get everyone on the bench. On to the next one. We can't let this slide.
If you're going to lose a game, and learn your lesson from it and like bounce back. This is the game to lose, right? FA Cup, we'd love to have it. We have won it since Fergie's left. It's not the end of the world if you finish in the top four. So now it's like the boys have to come out and look convincing against West Ham, because we come out flat and West Ham is pressing the shit out of us. We can't pass out the back. We make another error. And all of a sudden you're losing to West Ham. You know, it's just like, it's infectious. And that's why right in the wrong and getting the win on Wednesday is very important. Big, almost bigger than Sunday. You win on Wednesday, it just speaks to like how we've killed the bad juju. You don't, all the doubt's going to be on United.
Look, it's going to be a hell of a week. It's been a hell of a year. Shout out to everyone who listened to this pod, fan of this team. Never say die, sir. I really do think we're going to do it. I think all of us collectively are just, we hate Chelsea.
Hate them.
And we saw it last season, so it's in our rearview mirror, and we're worried, right? And so I think if last season didn't happen, I don't think we would sweat as much as we are. Basically, I think that's the attitude of the fan base right now. Have no fear. It's David Moyes. Come on,
don't do it.
Come
don't
on,
don't do it. The universe is listening. The universe is listening. Don't talk shit.
Tactical
don't
genius.
Talk shit.
Moyes.
Don't talk shit. Tactical genius. Because he's got results that have benefited United in this top four
David
run.
David Moyes is a chump. All day.
I know he is,
dude,
but
don't worry about it.
Bad juju. It's bad.
No, look, we're going to smoke West Ham. Smoke like him. I said, 4-0. Get after it. Look, it's been a real podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. This has been an amazing run of fixtures. Absolute marathon, sir. It seems like the ups and the downs, being in the bunker, everything. We have two little babies as well. We've been grinding. Pod never sleeps. Hope you guys appreciate it. You know, we love this team more than anything, and you can hear on the pod, and through all the fan comments, this matters so much to so many people. And this team just needs to find its stride. And it's like we're facing headwinds, but we got to overcome. That's what Manchester United always does. Always overcomes. That's why we'll miss out on top four last day, and then we'll go on and win Europa League. What do you think?
It's very possible. I wouldn't write it off for this team. You know what? If this is a normal United side, I would say no big deal. You lost it. Move on to the next one. It's just last year. Last year is just in my head. So we got to kill it. We got to just beat West Ham. This is honestly most important game of the season. How many times have we said that on the pod?
Most important.
This is the most important game of the season.
Most important game of the season. West Ham, David Moyes, don't worry about it. Look, it's been a real podcast. We really appreciate everyone who listens. You want to support the pod, please drop a review on iTunes. Check out our blog, AmericanRedDevils.com. Click on store. You want to check out our hoodies, the formerly undefeated hoodies. They're great. We're looking at getting hats as well. We're doing mugs. We're getting a bunch of other stuff. Getting it all set up for next season, as well as the scarves. We were hoping to add an FA Cup to that one, but we're not. So we look for your feedback. We'll be tweeting everything out that we're doing, adding it to our store. Support us there as well. We'll also be revamping Patreon for next season. Got a lot of stuff coming on, even though this summer really hasn't been a break. We'll keep it going all day.
It really is Champions League dependent. You know, it'll be less cool shit if we don't make the Champions League. Just like United, budget will be constrained. No, I'm just kidding. We love the fans, appreciate the fans, but it'd be a lot easier if we just like crew. Let's just like not lose another game, you know? Got to start another streak.
Yeah. Hey, this streak starts now. Been amazing week for downloads of the podcast. Or you want to give us our top cities?
Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Altadena, California. Number two, Toronto, Canada. Number three, San Francisco, California. Keep us going, sir.
Shout out to the Canucks up north. Brooklyn, New York, Oslo, Norway, the Shire, Chirac, number six, Tacoma, Washington, finish us off here.
LA, California, Union, Missouri, and Dublin, Ireland. Dublin, Ireland, appreciate all the downloads. Appreciate everyone listening in. Like we said, if you're listening to this pod, you are a hardcore, and we appreciate it because we're hardcores. West Ham, David Moyes.
I think you were fired up on this pod because you didn't have a dark ale. I think that's what it was.
I need a couple dark ales.
Also, we were recording this one right after the match, so you know there's a little extra... extra zing in the loss, especially as my phone's blowing up while we're recording. The Chelsea fans just chirping all Giroud scoring, Mount scoring. Get out of here. I did tweet on the thread.
Guess we're rooting for Arsenal.
In the final. We are. But I did tweet to the Chelsea fan on the thread, Mason Mount world class.
That, all I got to say is that goat goatee, that chin beard he's rocking. Oh, yeah. It's not a good look.
That's the last time we'll talk about Mason Mount in the pod. Look, it's been real. Everyone have a great week. Wednesday, everything on the line. We're back to it. Streak's over. Kicking a blue.
Oh!